Red Film Radio.
Red Film Radio.
Interview.
Interview.
For the next while, we will be talking about the great Senegalese filmmaker Ousmane Sembène with Samba Gajigo, the world's foremost expert on the life and work of Ousmane Sembène and author of Sembène's official biography, and also Jason Silverman, award-winning film producer and longtime festival director, who, among other things, is currently Cinematheque director at the Center for Contemporary Arts in Santa Fe. Guys, welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's wonderful to be here.
Thank you for inviting us.
Oh, it's my pleasure. It's a real pleasure to talk with you today. We're going to be talking about Ousmane Sembène. I'm a huge fan of his. For those who don't know, you know, he's really regarded as the father of African cinema. And what we're going to be talking about is a few things. We're going to be talking about him, his legacy, his works, especially for the people who are not so familiar with him, and why his role in film history and art history is so important. We're also going to be talking about a 2015 documentaries that you guys made about his life and works called Sembène with an exclamation mark. And we are also going to be talking about the Sembène Project, and we'll be getting into that a little later on. But first, Samba, my question to you is, because I'm aware that some people listening to this would like to find out more about Sembène and may not know about him so much, how would you describe him? What would you say to someone who is not familiar with him? And what would be your sort of introduction to Sembène?
Well, if I may just use a catchphrase we have been using to characterize Sembène, I would just say he's an ordinary man who did extraordinary things. Born in Senegal in the heydays of colonization, father and mother illiterate in French or any Western language, was expelled from school himself at a very, very young age, and was co-opted into the labor force in that colonial context, became a soldier to defend the freedom of France, and then after the war, went to Marseille as a manual laborer, as a docker at the Fort of Marseille. And from there on, reinvented himself, actually changed his destiny by deciding to be the voice of the voiceless, because there was a void. I mean, the colonized, the women, the exploited were not represented. So he taught himself how to read and write, and wrote, of course, his life and also the life of the working class. And from there on, realizing that Africans did not read his books because of the illiteracy I mentioned, well, again, in 1961-62, he reinvented himself by appropriating the camera to tell African stories. I think in a very, very, in a nutshell, that's how I would characterize Ousmane Sembène.
Obviously, his legacy is huge, massive. You actually got to meet him. Not only did you get to meet him, but you also developed a close relationship with him. And my follow-up question to that would be, what was, though, the first time that you... Do you remember what the first time you encountered his works, when that was? What work did you encounter? Was it his books or his films first? And what was it about them that you felt was so powerful?
Yeah, I think that's a very, very interesting question, because truth be told, I cannot talk about Ousmane Sembène without his story being intertwined with mine, actually. And what Jason and I are doing now, our hope is that the influence that Sembène has had on me as a young African, hopefully that influence will expand to other people throughout the world. So anyway, I was born, like Sembène, I was born in rural Senegal, of parents who were illiterate, French, English, or any Western language. So I grew up being told stories by the elders in my village, by my grandmother. And then, of course, the classic story, I go to French school, and then the French narratives take over. As a result, by age 17 in 1972, I thought I was French. I thought I was just a black Frenchman, and I equated culture and literature with French. It was at that time that a book accidentally came to my rescue. At age 17, I stumbled literally on Sembène's masterpiece, which is God Speaks of Wood, which he published in 1960. So here is a book that for the first time, at least in my story, was telling me about people I knew with whom I shared the same conditions of being colonized, with whom I shared the same space. So it was some kind of mental, psychological, and political fracture for me. So I met Sember when I was 17. And 17 years later, in 1989, as a young assistant professor in the United States, I went to Senegal to invite Sember to come to the United States to talk about African cinema and African culture here in the United States. So, and after that, of course, we worked together 17 years before he died in 2007.
So you obviously get into this more in the documentary that we'll be talking about a little later on. But just for those who haven't seen it and who are curious, what was it like to finally meet him? What was his personality like? What was that experience like?
Well, I think that Jason is also in a very good position to answer that question because he has been working, although unfortunately they have not met, he has been working on Semben for something like 15 years now. So Jason, the ball is in your court.
You know, Semben was, he's a hero, really. Everything he did was more than he needed to do. And he gave everything to communicate these stories to his people. And Semben could have been a minister or a president of the country. He could have been a figure with political power, but he thought it was best to use his skills and his passion in the realm of culture, in the realm of storytelling, because he knew that without Africans having access to their own stories, the entire battle would be lost. That was where he chose to put his energy. And he did it in a really remarkable way. He committed himself to storytelling when he was still working on the docks. He had to teach himself everything. And he made a pledge that he was going to build a new Africa through story. And then he spent the next 50 years doing it. And that's what inspires me. You know, that's what makes the story, I think, universal.
Now, Jason, I asked Samba this question earlier, but I'd like to also ask you, do you remember what the first work of Semben was that you encountered and that really made you realize the power of his art?
Well, I saw Molade first, and Molade was a revelation to me. I saw it in 2004. I worked for the Telluride Film Festival, among other things, and we played it there. It had won an award at the Cannes Film Festival. And I had known Semben's name, but like a lot of other film aficionados, I hadn't seen his work because it's not readily available.
That's true.
And it's starting to be available now, which we can talk about later. When I saw it, it was just another kind of storytelling altogether from what I had experienced in my years as a film curator. It was a story that was told from the level through the perspective of real people, in a place that was verdant and beautiful and magical. It was an open-eyed film. It had a little bit of a cynical edge in some places, but also a lot of hope. And that kind of combination is really rare. That's the combination of storytelling elements that only a master can provide to make a film so nuanced emotionally and politically that it can carry one thing and its opposite at the same time. So I was really incredibly moved and impressed by this film. And Samba and I had met at that moment, and that's when we started our journey together. And I quickly watched all the other films. Samba provided some of them to me and read all of the books. And I just went into a Semben immersion program.
Yeah, I'd like to know more, actually, if we can come to the 2015 documentary about how you guys started to collaborate on this film. What were the origins of it? And did you know what the film should look like right from the beginning?
Well, I think as Jason has just hinted, of course, he has seen, before we met, he was a programmer, right, at the Santa Fe Film Festival Center, at the CCA. So, and then, of course, he took the initiative to diversify the offerings at that center. Like Semben, maybe he had not met Semben yet, to give voice to the voiceless Africa by bringing African films. And in his research, of course, he stumbled on my name, and then we started a correspondence. I contributed articles. He started inviting me, and it became a long-term marriage, right? A marriage that goes back to 15 years, because I think we have the same, we have the same vision. But anyway, in a nutshell, after Semben died, I approached Jason and told him that, well, in my academic research, I have accumulated boxes and boxes of documents on Semben. Is there any way you could help me create a website to share it with the rest of the world? And of course, he looked at me and said, no, we are going to make a film. I said, well, how do you spell film? I never came to me to make a film. But anyway, one thing leading to the other, we started this collaboration. Of course, he is a writer, Jason is. He is a film programmer, but himself, he has also produced some films, but maybe he was just a little bit more equipped than I was in terms of filmmaking. So we held hands, and we fell, got up, stumbled, and it took us years to come up with a story. It took us years to raise the money to do it, and the rest of it is history. And the product has been Semben with exclamation mark.
Right. And so the film, just for those who haven't seen it, talks about his works, but also is a chance to get an insight into his personality and what he was actually like. You know, for example, one thing that that really struck me was, I think it was Alain, his son, who says that there was a Semben by night and a Semben by day. It was almost like two different personalities, right?
He was uncompromising. You know, what I've said before is, he was a hero, but he was no saint, and he burned a lot of bridges. I think it was because he really had this almost unachievable goal in mind, and he would sacrifice anything for that. His friendships, his family, you know, he worked. Samba can speak to this, of course, much more eloquently than I can, and has some stories to tell about working with Semben, but he was really devoted and committed over that 50 years to doing this work, to telling stories that would galvanize and liberate his neighbors.
Yeah, he was very, very, very passionate about his work. And of course, when you talk about passion, it's always involved maybe some kind of dark side to Semben, ready to go to any length to reach that goal. But also to challenge himself, actually. 2002, he was what, early 80s, had this big production Jason referred to, meaning Molade, in a remote village in Africa, no water, no electricity, nothing, 100 degrees under the shade. Of course, he collapsed. He was already showing the first signs of his disease. So I was blessed to be invited at what turned out to be his last walk on a set. So after he collapsed, I invited him, came to him, and I invited, listen, I call him Tonton, which is a term of endearment to say uncle, although there's no blood relationship. I told Lisa, why don't we take a couple of days? You go to a hotel, air conditioned, and you kind of recover a little bit. Then he looks at me, he said, well, I really very much appreciate you caring, but I will have enough time to rest after I die. We have to make these films. Yeah. So yes, he challenged everybody else. He challenged the so-called, but also challenged himself. So you would say, maybe falsely, he was a one-track-minded individual.
Right.
Whatever it takes, no moral condition or consideration into it. If he wants to make a film, he will go ahead and make a film by all means necessary.
Right.
Why? Because he had such a passion for Africa, and he was convinced that we each had our share to make Africa re-emerge again. Well, he did it. He was, Jason and I also call him the freedom fighter who used the camera as his weapon.
Right.
And he died with camera in hand, literally.
This is what he is known by scholars all over the world. But do you feel that Semben, in his lifetime, himself was aware of his status, not only in Africa, but also in the entire world?
I... Samba can probably speak better to questions about his kind of personality, but I think he must have had a strong sense of how essential the work he was doing. At the same time, he professed a modesty about it all along. And until Samba came along, he would refuse in some ways to talk about himself. He would only want to talk about the works, and he'd only want to talk about the works in certain kinds of ways. He would want people to watch the works and make their own judgments and interpretations about them. So, you know, and I think by the time he had finished one film, he was already looking to the next. So I don't think there was a lot of time spent thinking about legacy per se. But I think once Samba came around, and Samba represented not only an academic who could translate Semben's work into kind of history books, but also as a kind of son, as a someone who had been born and raised in similar circumstances to him, that had been in some ways the ideal audience member for Semben. Someone whose life had been altered in a positive way, whose path had been altered by these works, by storytelling in general. And so I think, you know, my guess is that that's when Semben started saying, hey, let me think about what will happen to these works and to my story after I'm gone.
So in the film also, and this is a very important part of the film, is highlighted the importance of preserving the works. Because when we talk about the legacy of any filmmaker, we also have to talk about, are these films, what condition are they in, and are they accessible to people to watch? Where are we now in this case? Because in the film itself, we have shots of reels of his works, reels of film that are just decaying. So where are we now at this point with the works of Semben?
Yeah, that's a very, very interesting question. And I think that's also where what we term as the Semben project comes in. Yes, of course, it's good that Jason and I make a film about Semben. It's another thing to make sure the film is seen around the world. We want the film to be seen around the world, not for the film's own sake, but how can we use this film to make Semben better known around the world? You're right, in the documentary, you see rusted cans of film in his room. So Semben project involved first a rescue mission on the part of Jason and I. Semben has died. Who's going to take the baton to preserve his manuscript, to preserve his film? So I think we did that by first making sure that his manuscripts are preserved for posterity. So Jason and I worked very hard. And as we speak, his manuscripts are housed in one of the best archives here in the United States at the University of India. That's one thing. The other thing, how can we also make sure that, well, the films are also restored? That's where the World Cinema Foundation come in. That's why Mandavi is going to, again, be relaunched in London, in France, and everywhere in the United States. So, but the another element is, how can we make sure those films are not only restored, but seen mostly in Africa, and also to share them around the world? That's another layer of the Semben project, which is Semben Across Africa, which we started in 2017. We devote a whole weekend using all means and to organize screenings of the film in Africa and in the African diaspora, whether it is in Canada, in the United States, or in the Caribbean. So I think there remains still a lot of work to be done, but I think in the last 10 years, we did, not to self-congratulate, a monumental work of preservation, of sharing the work, and also looking forward. There are other projects, but I am superstitious. I want to talk about it until the work is ripe, but there are many other things in the work. I mean, this interview we're having with you is also part of the Semben project. Sure. How can we talk different media outlets to make sure that the Semben legacy is not Semben as such, but the idea, the work, the ideal, the vision of Semben is shared by of the world, the whole world.
Yeah, exactly. In fact, if anyone visits the website of the Semben project, I think it says that it's not only about preserving Semben's films, but also preserving in African cinema and culture, right?
Yeah, the thing that's been really remarkable about the Semben Across Africa project is, it shouldn't have surprised us, I guess, in retrospect, but how eagerly embraced these films have been across the board. I mean, they've now shown in, I think, 49 of the 55 African nations, our film and Semben's films through this project. And we've worked in partnership with over 200 different groups. And there's been close to 400 screenings. I have to check the numbers. And, we don't do much. We send the films and micro grants and marketing support and some how-to and technical knowledge. People just do what they think is best with the film so they can reach their neighbors. And it's really powerful to see how they're used. I mean, the films have been shown in, by a rural Rwandan book club, in elementary schools, in arenas, and an arena in South Sudan pretty soon after independence, outdoors, indoors, universities, millions of streams of the films. It's really been a phenomenal process to watch unfold, not because of us or Semben, but just more to realize, wow, if African content in Africa and also in Asian content in Asia and all the places where there's, colonial culture is swamping indigenous cultures, anywhere that's happening, there's a hunger for stories that relate to people's own lives. And if we can find ways to help provide those stories, I think the world will be a lot better place. So supporting the filmmakers, creating infrastructure that will support those films that they make, in getting them to the audiences they're intended for, et cetera, that'll be a moment of liberation if we can continue to do that. And I'm not talking about our project. I'm talking about the big global independent film movement and media movement.
I absolutely agree. And it's been a pleasure speaking with you guys. We went a little over the time I promised you, but it was just such a fascinating conversation. And I definitely appreciated every moment of it. And I thank you for your generous answers. Thank you very much.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.